Good morning.
Good
morning. It's awesome to see you all here today, that's for sure. Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ himself. Amen. Our sermon text is going to be taken from the Gospel of Luke, and it's going to be taken from chapter 24. If I don't have my water after I read, this is my thought process right here. So anyways, Luke chapter 24, we're going to read verses 13 through 35. But before I do, I want to remember, I generally don't like to say these things from the pulpit because some people are a little more personal, but I forgot to talk to Scott about it. And I've had three people ask me already about Bill and Ruth Luthier, and so I'm going to pray for them in our opening prayer. But he has had heart surgeries and things, and I haven't heard how things are going. So they are very private people, so I didn't want to say anything, but now that enough people have come forward, I feel that people know. So he is 91, I believe, and so we just want to keep them in prayer. Last I knew, he was heading to Marquette, I think this last Thursday, to have a valve replaced. So, but anyways, and then also in Bible study, we were asked to pray for Donna Jarvie. So I'd like to pray for her this morning too, because she has double pneumonia, and that's more of a public prayer, so that's okay. So we'll get started with reading the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, and we're going to read verses 13 through 35, and because we're in cramped spaces and we're pretty full today, we can remain seated for this and still honor God our Father. So let's read from Luke 24, beginning at verse 13, reading in Jesus' name. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleophas, answered him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem, who does not know the things that have happened in these days?" And he said unto them, "What things?" And they said unto him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man that was a prophet, mighty indeed in the word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him up and condemned him to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel. Yes, besides all this, it is now the third day since these things had happened. Moreover, some of the women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying they had even seen a vision of angels that said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. And he said unto them, "O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And from the beginning, with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures and the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village which they were going, and he acted as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is now far spent.' So they went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They did say to one another, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked on the road with us and opened the scriptures?' And they rose up that same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were together, gathered together. And they said, 'The Lord is risen indeed, and has appeared unto Simon.' And they told what happened on the road, and how he was known in the breaking of bread." Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that is before us. We praise and we thank you for this word. We thank you for your truth. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us in this truth, because, Father, there is no truth outside of your word. We ask that you would just continue to hold us in the palm of your hands, that you would be with our dear brother Bill, that you would be with Ruth, that you would strengthen and encourage them, and that, Father, you would give success and healing. Father, we ask that you'd be with our sister Donna, that you would strengthen her, that you'd be with Alan, that you would bring healing and restoration, give doctors insight, wisdom, and guidance. Be with the entire family as they've been through so much lately with COVID and everything else. But Father, we ask that you would just lay your hand upon them and bless them. Father, we ask once again that you'd be with us as we take time to look at your word. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. I don't usually use a water bottle, but I forgot my cup, so this is what you got today. I'll be like Pastor Jay, you know? But anyways, Scott really shared something with you last week, and it really is a motivator, that we are not to be in fear, that we are to know that we have peace in and through the finished work of Jesus Christ. He even shared with you about how now the 11 were locked up in the upper room, probably with some more partners and friends and things like that, but they were more or less hiding, because really, after the death of Jesus Christ, what next? What next could happen? How bad can it get? And even as Brother Scott even elated a little bit, that now they might have been in fear for their own lives. So now my question to you, we are living in the day and age in the new covenant. We know Christ. We know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey says, right? Maybe some of you are too young for Paul Harvey, but I'm not. And so anyways, the point is we do have an understanding of the fulfillment of Christ in his establishing of the kingdom. But do you ever feel like you've been let down? You ever feel like maybe plans aren't going exactly how you think they should go? Maybe life isn't going exactly how you think it should be? And that can be disheartening for a lot of us. There's no doubt about that. And so sometimes we have to ask ourselves, well, really, and I'm going to do it to myself, Jesse, who's in control here? Are you in control? Is it your thoughts or your ways? Or are God's ways much higher than your ways? God's thoughts much deeper than your thoughts? Maybe he actually knows the rest of the story. And so you can picture these guys, right? They watched the crucifixion. They watched all of this stuff go on. And they are. They're downtrodden. It's almost like, let's get out of Jerusalem. This place, the city's gone to the birds. We can't handle it. Jesus was crucified. We thought he was going to be everything. So they start heading about 7 miles up to Emmaus. They're going back home or wherever they're going to, right? And so they're cruising down the road. And what would the conversation be? We all know this. We don't walk much, but, you know, maybe, you know, we're heading downstate. We've got a big meeting to get to, and we have good conversation, don't we? If we're, you know, Raz and I are traveling, I guarantee you we'd be talking. He'd have a competition because I'd talk his ear off. But the point is, we find that alone time is good, that we can stop and reflect and think. But these guys are reflecting on something that is very, very difficult for them. See, the children of Israel were constantly waiting for God to send them a leader that would free them from the grips of Rome. Rome really had great power over them. You know, they kind of made a deal with the adversary, if we could say it this way. They kept getting beat up by other nations, so therefore they made a deal with Rome that, okay, we'll pay tribute to you, but you're going to protect us. Well, in that deal, they didn't realize how much Rome would want for protecting them. And they were taxing the daylight out of them. And so in their carnal minds, they wanted to be free from that burden. And so they're hoping and understanding that now God is going to send a great leader to bring them back, the children of Israel, back to the place maybe they were with David. So they're looking more for an earthly king in their mind. But anyways, so when they saw Jesus and they saw his great ministry and all the great works that he was doing, they figured this has got to be the guy. And it even says in the scripture many times they tried. They tried to physically take him and make him a king. But then Jesus would vanish from their midst. That's cool. That's kind of like Jesus now entering into the room, as Scott talked about. The doors were locked, everything was bound, and yet he was able. See, God is able to get beyond our boundaries. He's able to get into places where we, in reality, feel safe. God breaks all of our barriers. And so these guys are walking down the road, and they're kind of like bumming out. They're kind of ticked off because now everything they had hoped and dreamed about is gone. And like I said, when we open, maybe sometimes we think our lives aren't going exactly how we thought they'd go. But what doors is God opening? What opportunities do we have? How is God preserving us? You know, sometimes the things that we think are so good for us oftentimes aren't. And yet God preserves us. What do they say? Some of the best answered prayers are God's unanswered prayers, you know? And so anyways, now, these two individuals, they're walking down the road heading to Emmaus, and they're talking to each other about the events that took place. Very disheartening. And this is kind of the interesting thing. God knows. God cares. You may wonder at times, does he even hear me? Does he know? He cares. And so while they're walking down the road, who comes alongside of them? God himself. Christ Jesus joins himself to the conversation. And now he's walking alongside of them. And they're really having this, you know, big, deep conversation. And so then Jesus turns around. And it says very plainly in this gospel that we read, their eyes were set, they were fixed, that they couldn't recognize Jesus the Christ. I think for one thing, they didn't expect it. For another thing, God could have held their eyes that they wouldn't know, so that maybe we'd be honest. Sometimes we put on our holy face before God and we're like, oh, we can't say this, we can't say that. No, Jesse's been so mad, he's told God straight out, I'm ticked! This didn't work out the way I thought it should. What's wrong? You know, in other words, for some reason, we almost trick ourselves thinking God doesn't know our intents and our thoughts. Be honest. Be truthful. Be reverent, sure. He is still God. But he knows. But their eyes are fixed that it was not revealed to them who he was. Maybe they were so engrossed with their problem, they didn't recognize God in their midst. Have you ever had that going on? I have. There's many times that I haven't understood God was actually operating in my life, and I've mistaken it for the adversary. Isn't that what Luther says? We'll never truly know God until we see him as adversary. Because, see, we have a thought process that we think this should go this way, and this way, but God has the ultimate plan. He has the ultimate plan. He knows how it should go. And so now you come down to this point where they're having this conversation, their eyes are held, but Jesus says, what are you guys talking about? You know? You guys look so sad, you're bumming out, I mean, this sounds like a deep conversation. What are you talking about as you're walking? Can you imagine their response? We take it in a little more holy way, but they'd be like, holy buckets, what are you, dumb? Are you blind? Where have you been? Have you been under a rock? This is one of the biggest events that's ever taken place in Jerusalem. And he's walking along with them, so therefore he must be coming from Jerusalem too. And so this is shocking to them. This is kind of like an American not knowing about 9/11. You'd be blown away by it. What do you mean you don't know about 9/11? Even us younger people understand Pearl Harbor. We've heard about it. And so they're very straightforward. They stood still, looking extremely dumbfounded, sad. And then they said, one of them, named Cleophas, answered and says, are you only a visitor to Jerusalem? I mean, you have to be. Did you just pop in for a day and come from outer space? Where are you coming from? And don't know the things that have happened, that have taken place in these last few days? Jesus wants them to explain. See, God wants us to share with him. God desires that we would have conversation with him. You know, if you watch me in my car, I'm probably, you'd think I'm back crazy. I can't see this. You're going to think I'm nuts. That's what I'm going to say. Because you have conversations. God desires that we would speak to him, our needs and our desires and what's going on in our life. It's not that he doesn't know. There is a huge benefit for us expressing ourselves, talking, sharing, encouraging. And so he wants to know, and this is the first thing that we should grab out of this lesson, is that God desires to know what's on our heart, what we fear, what we're afraid of, what we in reality are battling against. He wants us to talk to him. So he asks them, straight up, what's up? What things? And they're like, concerning Jesus of Nazareth. He was a mighty man, a prophet. I mean, can you imagine what they would have shared with him? You should have seen this Jesus. This Jesus was so powerful. There was a man that was born blind. He had never seen in his life. And he went and he touched him and he was healed. He was healed. In all of our days, we've never seen anybody that was born blind brought back to sight. Jairus' daughter was dead. And he raised her. There was a man with leprosy who only sought for grace and mercy and healing. And he touched the leper. He touched him. And he was healed. He walked on water. I know it sounds crazy, but this guy, he came and he walked on water. And when the storms were all around him, all he had to do was say, "Be it still. Be at peace." And the ocean listened. The sea listened to him. Can you imagine? We were out in the wilderness one time, and there was thousands of people out there. Thousands! And they were hungry. And all we had is two fish and some loaves. He blessed them, and he fed all of these people. Have you ever seen somebody do such great miracles? This is amazing. You've never heard of this? So they start sharing with him all the great things that he had done. And really, he says, basically, now it comes to the point where our chief priests and our rulers, they didn't like the competition. I'm adding that in there. They didn't like the competition. So they delivered him up and condemned him to death. For what? That's the question I'm asking. What did they kill Jesus for? Was it for healing of the blind man? Well, it was the Sabbath day. That could be in trouble. Was it for feeding of the thousands? Was it for healing of the woman with the issue of blood? Was it for the healing of the lame man? In reality, they crucified him because he made himself, as they say, the Son of God. He was crucified for the truth. He is the Son of God. And so they're like, so they delivered him over to be killed. And then that truth comes out once again. Verse 21. And we really had a great deal of hope that he was the one to redeem Israel. He was going to save us. And what they miss is he is the redeeming of Israel. He is the redemption for the world. But they saw it more in an earthly fashion. And this is why I come back to that. What are your thoughts? Where do you feel let down? Where do you feel? And I'm not like pointing fingers. I have this in my life too. I thought it would work out this way. I thought it would work out this way. But God has a plan for each and every one of us. He has a vision for each and every one of us. We are his children. He knows what is best for us. But do we see him? Do we hear him? Do we listen in reality to him? How do we listen to him now? That's the question. We can get real with that. How do we listen to God now? Through his word. See, Jesus is revealed to us through his word. The Spirit is revealed to us through his word. God the Father, the Trinity, is revealed through his word. He is known by revelation. And what you are doing today, maybe, you know, you just came because this is what you do. Or maybe someone asked you to come, praise God that they did, they have a concern. But the reality is, maybe it's just mom and dad made you come here. I don't know. But the fact of it is, being here, not listening to some lunatic pastor, but rather hearing God's word, hearing in reality the revelation of his word by the power of his Spirit, is one of the greatest gifts that we can receive to encourage us. Because sometimes life doesn't go the way we think it should. But God has a plan. God has a vision for you and for me. So then they turned around and they said, "We hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel." Yes, and besides this, guess what? It's the third day. This is the third day. So what they're really saying, and we don't quite understand this sometimes, but they're saying he's really, really dead. Because they believe very strongly that the soul would leave the body after the third day, that someone was truly dead. So this is saying, in earthly standards, there's no more hope. So they're kind of blown away. And then they say, but now we're a little bit confused, because to tell you the truth, some women of our company, they blew our minds. They really did. Verse 22, they were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they didn't find the body, they came back telling us there was actually angels, messengers, angelos in the Greek, but there's messengers there that shared with us that he was alive. How does that happen? Do dead people get up? So they were blown away by this. It was an amazing thing for them to hear this. So some of us that were in our company, they ran ahead to the tomb. They went up there to go look, and they found it is exactly as the women had shared. We don't know what to think about this. And then Jesus turns around, and he preaches to them. We make the word preach bad. We were talking about this in Bible study not too long ago. Well, you know, if you encounter someone that's struggling, you can't preach to them. And I found myself saying the same thing, but that's just dumb. You can't preach hellfire and damnation and think that you govern the whole conversation. You can share the gospel of Jesus Christ, proclaim its truth to each and everyone that you encounter. That is preaching. Preaching is giving a hope beyond the circumstances you're facing. Preaching, in reality, is sharing the hope of God with people. He turns and he preaches at them. He says, O foolish one, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. This is powerful. Here you have the creator of the universe. Here you have Christ himself. They may not know it, but he doesn't turn around and give them the wisdom of men. He brings it right back to Scripture. And that's really what he's doing. He's saying, you should know your Scripture. We want to know God. We should know our Scripture. And so he says, you know what? He says, was it not necessary? In other words, even Christ himself spoke these words earlier in the Gospel of John. He says, was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter in his glory? Do you realize what's been done? It is beneficial that Jesus Christ suffer and die and go to the Father so that we may live. Very, very powerful that he brings out here. So then how does he do it? He goes from the beginning. He goes from the beginning from Moses and all the prophets, and he starts to share with them all the scripture that spoke of him. Can you imagine this? We could do this. If we took a few moments, we could start from Genesis all the way through, and we could see the promise of the coming of the Messiah. We could see in reality what God speaks for each and every one of us. How will we ever have that if we don't open the Word? How will we have that if we only come here for 28 minutes on a Sunday and then say, I'm good to go? You're not going to get it listening to me. It is his word that brings life. It is his word that gives hope. It's his word in reality that will drag us out of the dredges of our depression. If it's read in its right context. If it's read in the Spirit. And if we ask, in reality, God to open this word to us. Church is not just a habit. And coming to church is not just something that we do to appease somebody else or to make God happy. Church is where we are filled, where we are encouraged, where we, if we could say it this way, are equipped to read all the more in the upcoming week, to study. And I say it's so easy because you can take your phone, you can listen to it for 5 minutes in the morning and ponder on that. God has opened himself to us so beautifully in his word. So he shared everything from Moses and the prophets. And we could go right through and we can figure that out, boy. We could go from Genesis, right? We could figure out that he promised. And we could go to Abraham, who was told that he would have the descendants and that Christ would come through this line of descendants. And he believed. It was that faith that he had that made him righteous. He believed that word. And I think you could go straight out from Isaiah I just want to read a short part of Isaiah 53 that is just, to me, so powerful. So powerful. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and one who was from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he was bore our griefs, and he carried our sorrows. Yet we the esteemed, have stricken him, smited by God and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was a chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. We are all like sheep gone astray. We have all turned, everyone to his own way, right? Thinking this is the way it should be, our way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, like a sheep that was before the shearers in silence, he opened not his mouth. This is the description of Jesus Christ in the crucifixion that Isaiah lays out generations before. The scriptures speak of him so powerfully because he is in reality our way to the Father. No man comes to the Father but through me is what Christ Jesus says. It's not about denominations. It's not about what group we're part of. It's about knowing the finished work of Jesus Christ as our own. Brothers and sisters in Christ, how will we ever receive that if we don't open this book? How will we ever know it if we don't receive what God has given to us? We sit there and we talk about it with great affection. Oh, this is our love letter. Well, then read it. Open it. Allow it to encourage us. Because Jesse, too many times, turns on the radio, turns on other things, goes to other sermons and tries to figure it out. Open this word and allow it to speak to you. Church is not about musics. Church is not about theatrics. In reality, those things are beautiful. I'm not making fun of them. They have their place. But the message of the gospel is what salvation is. The message of the gospel gives us a hope beyond the circumstances of our crazy world that we live in. The message of the gospel brings us hope beyond what moments we're living in day to day. He preaches to them. He says, you guys are nuts because you're not going back to the basics. You're not listening to the word that you were giving. And he proclaims to them from Moses and all the prophets concerning themselves. And as they started going closer to the village, you know, he acts like, I'm going to keep trucking. I'm going. But see, when he opened that word to them, what did it do? They say it later. Did our hearts not burn within us? They desired to have more. And that is what Jesus does. He gives us a desire for truth, for love, for healing. Because trust me, we're looking for healing in this world. And so he acted like he was going to keep going. And so anyways, when he was starting to walk away, they said, no, stay with us. It's almost evening time. You know what? The day is gone. Let's stay here together. And so he went and he stayed with them, or he went to act as he was staying with them. And he went to the table with them. And this is the beautiful part of this. Jesus is the guest. The guest never serves. But Jesus serves us. See, he takes the role of servant, even in this situation. He talks about that throughout his whole gospel. But in this situation, it says, when he was at the table with them, he took the bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. This is the revelation of Christ. He reveals himself. Do you know we do this once a month? You could do this every Sunday. But this is where, in reality, the revelation of Jesus Christ comes. It's in the breaking of bread. This is my body. This is my blood. And so when he goes through this, they recognized him. And his job was complete. They knew who he was. They knew he was alive. He vanishes. He vanishes. And so they turn around with great excitement and they talk to each other and they're like, did our hearts not burn within us when he talked to us on the road? He says, and open the scriptures. You know, that put a fire in them. And they rose up in that same hour, though they were telling him the day's far spent, 7 miles away to go back to Jerusalem, they couldn't contain themselves. They had to get up right then and there, and they ran to Jerusalem to go share this message. And they get back there and they say, the Lord is risen indeed. He is alive. And as he has appeared to Simon. And then basically they turn around and they shared what was going on and how he was revealed in the breaking of bread. God has a plan for each and every one of us. God has a plan for his church. And Christ has established his church by that great work that he's done on Golgotha. May we also be excited. May we also proclaim. And may we receive this word for ourselves. That it is not our thoughts, not our intent, but his thoughts and his ways are much better. We are so blessed. Because in reality, we are called to but trust and believe. To receive this word. It's been ready. It's been prepared. So I pray that each and every one of us, as Scott even talked about last week, that we would not live in fear, but that rather as the day comes, draws closer, that we would be in boldness in his spirit, that we would take his word, that we would utilize his word, and that we would be encouraged for yet another day. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you for this opportunity to gather around your word. And we thank you, Father, for the truth of your word. And we thank you, Father, that you hear us and that you also come to visit us by the power of your spirit, through the power of your word, that you reveal yourself each and every day. May we also see it as so promising. May we also see it as so precious that, Father, we would take 5 minutes a day just to meditate upon it. And I guarantee, Father, that if we were just to do it 5 minutes a day, we would find ourselves desiring more. So, Father, we ask that you would bless that. Now, Father, we ask that you'd be with each and every one that we prayed for. We pray that you would also just be with us as we head out of here today, that you would protect us, guide us, and lead us, and allow us to have a good week in the upcoming week. Father, we thank you for all things. Now, the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.